Ferret, Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk about the controversy surrounding the popular Chinese-based apps TikTok and WeChat and what the U.S. government wants to do about them. First, Judith Sears-Poisson joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these conversations possible. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. That's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Last hour, we heard from 17 wonderful new and returning donors. Thank you so much to everyone who gave. Our goal for this hour is to get 15 gifts.
Help pay for the programs that you rely on every day when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You are powerful because people who listen, that's people like you, provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And today, Alliant Energy is partnering with WPR to help provide hunger relief in Wisconsin. They'll match every dollar raised through the food bank thank you gifts up to $5,000. This drive, you can provide hunger relief right in your area. So ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts.
Thank you for making a difference for your neighbors and the WPR programs you love at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every single member drive, listeners from all over the country and even the world reach out to support WPR. Yes, just yesterday we heard from someone from Las Vegas, and I want to say someone on the East Coast as well. People from Texas, Alaska, Japan, Germany tell us they've found something special here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes WPR what it is, a resource that you enjoy and one that people treasure around the state, around the country, and even around the world.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you've decided to give, and how you'd like to pay for it.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
About 50 minutes left in this hour, and we are looking for 15 more people to join in. You make WPR possible when you give. It's really that simple an equation. And you can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here's an added bonus for supporting the programs that you love. You could win $1,000 to spend on bikes and cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And hey, sustainers, if you're already making ongoing monthly gifts, you're already automatically entered.
And if you're thinking, hey, I want to be automatically entered in all the drawings, you can become a sustainer right now. It's easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or credit card, and you can do it quickly, easily right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. You'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love, like Central Time, and get automatically entered in the drawings we have during member drives.
James in Fitchburg says, it's easy to feel that the world is falling apart. Wisconsin Public Radio reminds me that good people continue to do good things, and that will all make it through. Thank you, James, for your comment and for your contribution.
Okay, Rob, promise this isn't going to go to your head?
Oh, it will. Sure it's going
to. I'll say it anyway. So Lucky in Daleyville says, Rob is an ace. Central Time was a favorite from the moment I started listening. Well, thank you for your support,
cool.
Lucky. We're going to have to talk Rob down a little bit from your very nice compliment, but, you know, it's worth it. Thank you so much, Lucky and James, for supporting Central Time, for listening, and for being part of the WPR family.
I'm going to want you to call me Ace henceforth, Judith. That's my new nickname.
Geez.
I like this.
See, Lucky, see what you've done.
Thank you so much, though, seriously, for the kind words, for listening, and for your very important gift. How about you? Make your own really important contribution right now. You can give. You can support the radio you count on. Make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. You're listening to Central Time. Millions of people in the United States and around the globe use the video app TikTok and the free messaging app WeChat. Both of those apps are owned by Chinese companies, and that has drawn criticism from the Trump administration. President Trump announced a ban on the sale of the WeChat app this weekend, though that's been blocked for now by a court. The video platform TikTok is way more popular in the United States, and that's in the midst of a sale. President Trump says he wants American companies to have a controlling interest in the app, citing security concerns. A proposed deal between ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns TikTok, along with Oracle and Walmart, may or may not address some of those concerns, depending on who you talk to. Our next guest joins us now to talk about the controversy surrounding these apps and their cybersecurity concerns. Debbie Perulli is an assistant professor in the Department of Computer Science at Marquette University. Debbie, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about the cybersecurity concerns, first of all. What are the worries about these two apps owned by companies based in China and what they could mean for security?
These apps are not unique in any single aspect if we compare them to other apps, some of them being owned by American companies. It is just that when we see collectively the privacy concerns that they check a box, are quite of them, are several of them. So like other apps, TikTok collects personal information. We know that it is in the privacy policy of the app. In the past, during the last year, we have seen some of the information that is being collected to be done in secret. Some of the technical information, like MAC addresses of the device of the user. This is one of the concerns. And like I said, this is not unique to TikTok or to WeChat, but it is one of the items that raises the concern. As I believe you already mentioned in the introduction, this is an app that is owned by a Chinese company. And we know that there are very active cyber operations going on between the US and China and many other countries in the world. It doesn't help to know that this is a company that could be asked by the Chinese government to provide data. Whether or not it complies, that's a different story. And the third item that is a concern for privacy is really that this is a very popular social media platform, and it could be used to influence U.S. citizens at scale. It's not a concern right now, but we have seen similar campaigns run in other social media like Twitter and Facebook. So there is no reason to assume that this would not happen with another popular social media platform. So
as you
I think
said,
these are three points. Yes, please go ahead.
As you said, a lot of those things overlap. There are concerns you might have about any social media outlet. But I think the case from the Trump administration is that because it's in China and, you know, there's maybe not a big wall between the Chinese government and a Chinese company, that there would be some kind of unique government access to this American material for, say, TikTok than you might see for a Twitter or a Facebook or something like that. Is there something to that?
I believe yes. I believe that regardless of political motivations, there are really real security concerns and questions. I would also say that it is not just the Trump administration. It is also both the House and the Senate, I believe, have been backing up in various ways investigations of Chinese companies. The intelligence also agencies. I know that TikTok has been something that they have been looking at for a while. We already know that the Navy and the Army have, for months now, not allowed their own people to have downloaded this app on their own cell phones. So I believe that given the massive cyber operations and cyber attacks that are happening every day, given the intellectual property that is being stolen, that has been stolen by Chinese companies in the past, IP from American companies, I don't think it's at all that it is an unfounded concern. The fact that here is a company that does a lot of the things that American companies do, there is no question about that. But also there is an additional factor there. There is an additional checkbox, if you want, that this specific application checks.
And let's talk about solutions now, starting with the president announcing this weekend banning the WeChat app. Now, this isn't as much of a household name. It's not as widely used in America, very widely used around the world, I understand. But this idea of just outright saying, Google and Apple, stop selling this thing. Courts are blocking that for now. Have we seen something like this before for security reasons?
Not in this scale, to the best of my knowledge. However, I would like to point out that this is not something that has not been asked from previous administrations. I remember reading, I believe it was an article by Tim Wu from the Columbia Law School, who was really making the point that this is really a long battle for the soul of the internet, right? So we have China on one hand, who keeps a closed internet, and while its products actually do access open markets abroad. There are voices that say if someone wants to have the privilege of full internet access, then those companies should be from countries that also respect the openness of the internet. There is the internet as we know it in this side of the world is based on the ideas of openness, of connecting everybody. This is not how it is in other places of the world, and the more presence companies that belong or are supported by more restrictive governments have, the more we actually may see the internet itself change in nature.
We're talking to Debbie Parulli right now, assistant professor in the Department of Computer Science at Marquette University. She is with us to talk about cybersecurity and apps like TikTok and WeChat and why the Trump administration has wanted to block both apps on national security grounds. Coming up, we'll look into this attempted sale of TikTok. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about either of these apps? Do you use, most likely, I guess, TikTok, or does someone in your household? What do you think about the Trump administration's original move to block the apps? How do you think cybersecurity issues should be handled at the federal level? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation about the push from the Trump administration to block TikTok or WeChat on national security grounds. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about these apps, TikTok in particular, fairly popular, especially with the younger generations? What would you like to see changed, if anything, to safeguard your information on apps like these? Or do you worry about what all the social media companies are doing with your information, our information? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Debbie Parulli is with us, assistant professor in the Department of Computer Science at Marquette University. All right, Debbie, let's talk about this sale of TikTok. And I'm going to level with you. I'm kind of confused as to what's going on, because a lot of people seem to disagree on the details. What's happening here?
So I have to also tell you that I'm confused myself.
Yeah.
mostly because I am more a computer scientist, so I'm not on the business side.
Sure.
But my understanding is that what has happened is that Oracle and Walmart have entered a deal with ByteDance, which is the Chinese company currently owning TikTok. And the question is how much of the actual application will actually, how many of the shares will actually go to American-owned companies. Now, there have been some statements, I believe, from Oracle that have been disputed by ByteDance after the event, after the deal that seems to have been signed. Some of the details, I believe, have to do with the fact that there are also American investors that own part of ByteDance. So if you count the share of American companies at ByteDance plus what the deal with Oracle and Walmart, maybe that gets you to more than 50%. ByteDance doesn't seem to share that point of view, and it seems to still want to keep control of the algorithms of the intellectual property and other major decisions. So I don't think at least from my point of view, I don't think it is clear what is going on. It is yet to be determined how this will go.
Are there efforts to solve this kind of problem, Debbie, on the other end, saying, hey, companies, whether you're based in America or based in China, if you're operating in America, here are the kinds of information we're not going to allow you to collect? Is that in the works anywhere? Is it even possible?
This is a very good question, and I'm glad you bring it up because it is part of my research. So in the research domain, there are many prototypes, there are many ideas of how can we solve this problem of massive personal data being collected by companies. And it is a very complicated problem. I can talk probably more than you want me to on this. So what I can probably say is that some solutions require the service provider to adopt it. So you can't really make a large company that is already in possession of huge amount of personal data to change their tactics if they don't want to. Other solutions are focusing more on making people more aware of what is being collected. So putting the emphasis more on personal responsibility and actions. So it is definitely a matter of research and a very active currently issue.
Well, let's talk about that user. Supposing it's someone who doesn't want to give up on social media entirely. Some people do, but some people want to keep using it. Are there safer, I guess, ways to use social media that protect our information, that protects the identity of our devices that we're using?
Yes and no. So to some extent, all of the social media companies need to collect some information in order to operate. It is the design so that I need to know, for example, who you want to be friends with, right? This is information that I will need to have. All the information also that we volunteer to these kind of platforms. When they say, you know, tell me the name of your hometown, tell me when you were born, and fill in all this kind of personal information. This is data that we volunteer. So we cannot ask them to, you know, not use it when we provide that. At the same time, especially during the last couple of years, there has been a lot of criticism on social media apps. They have also tried to be more open on what data they collect. So there are buttons that you can click and then they will tell you this is what we collect. These are the specific kind of add-ons, if you like, that what information will be required for the add-ons, etc. All the major US tech companies like Facebook, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and Apple, they actually have a way for you to download a report saying what kind of personal data they are collecting on you. And this is relatively recent. Each company also provides that in a different format. Some are more accessible than others, but it is there. And regarding social media that we are running on our phone, when we are actually downloading an app, the app will ask for permission to use specific services and resources on our phone. So it will ask explicitly, can I use your location data? Can I use your address book? Can I use this and that? Users have to be aware of what they are agreeing to. And if they believe that this is too intrusive, maybe they need to search for a different kind of app. And same thing, not only with social media, but also with any kind of web service, when there are more and more sites that when we click on them, they will have a cookie and privacy policy where we can disable a lot of the tracking cookies. There are a lot of search engines that and browsers that value privacy more, like DuckDuckGo or Mozilla Firefox, for example. So it needs a little bit of search, and it needs to have a cautious mind. But there is something that we can do for the moment.
We'll leave it there for now. Debbie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Debbie Perulli is an assistant professor in the Department of Computer Science at Marquette University. She joined us today to talk about the latest news about TikTok and the president's efforts to force a sale to American companies. Up next on Central Time, we'll talk to a political scientist about a new ruling that will allow Wisconsin's absentee ballots to be counted up to 6 days after the election. Asterisk pending appeals in higher courts. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Judith Sears Poisson joins me now with a plea for you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future Wisconsin Public Radio listening.
And that's because listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs you count on, programs like Central Time. And that's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We are off to a great start this hour, looking for 15 gifts total. We just need 6 more now.
Awesome.
So that is a great start. Thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't quite gotten around to it, why not get it out of the way now? You can go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
In that last conversation, we learned about the social media apps, TikTok in particular, the big name there, under criticism from the president and others over security concerns, cybersecurity concerns. And our guest helped untangle what was going on in this story, what it all meant, and what, to some extent at least, you can do to take care of yourself when you use social media. It's the kind of informative conversation you can count on from Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. The first step is to choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
You might have a monthly subscription for your cell phone and Netflix and any number of other streaming services. Now we are asking you to support WPR just like you pay for that other stuff that you rely on.
The difference here is that you decide how much to give. Support the programs that are a part of your day, of your week. Become a WPR sustainer. Choose a monthly gift amount that works for you, then set up ongoing installments at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Choose one of the food bank gifts. When you give $10 or $20 a month, Alliant Energy is partnering with us. They'll match every dollar raised through the food bank thank you gift up to $5,000. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I really love that idea, and what a great way to give back to the community. And if you're already a sustaining member, thank you so much. We so appreciate that ongoing support. Maybe today is a day that you choose to increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose. Do that right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Give because you count on Wisconsin Public Radio for great conversations and news and entertainment each and every day. And you know that we count on you to help pay for it. Listener support really does make a difference. It really is the biggest piece of our budget that makes everything you hear possible. So take just a few minutes right now and give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a new court ruling says that absentee votes in Wisconsin can be counted up to 6 days after Election Day, but that could change on appeal. We'll find out what that means for the election coming up. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Judith Sears-Poisson joins me now. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for Central Time and all the programs you enjoy here on WPR. In fact, listener support is the largest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. This drive is your time to take some action. You make it all possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 6 more people to give during the next 25 minutes to meet our hourly goals. And this goal is set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy, programs like Central Time. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As an Ideas Network listener, you're smart. You want to know what's going on both in the news and in the culture around us. We're right there with you exploring everything here on Central Time.
And I have to say, Ollie in Darlington had a great comment for us. He says, Central Time is a wild and wonderful ride, from serious up to the minute breaking news to thoughtful interviews to great food tips. Well, that is the kind of variety that you get on Central Time each and every day. Thank you for that, Ollie. And we're grateful for your support. It makes all the stories, all of those fun segments, interviews, conversations you hear on the show possible. So give now. It makes a big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can turn on the radio or fire up your computer or bring the WPR app up on your phone. And without any kind of upfront charge, you can enjoy hours and hours of trustworthy news, in-depth conversations, and great entertainment. WPR is available for everyone because listeners like you help cover the cost.
Join in today. Become a member with maybe your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today, let the impact of your gift go beyond the WPR programs you love. Align Energy is partnering with us to help provide hunger relief in Wisconsin. They'll match every dollar raised through food bank thank you gifts up to $5,000. Ask for yours today when you give $10 or $20 a month. Thank you for making a difference for your neighbors and WPR programs with your gift now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. I'm Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears-Poisson on Central Time. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Now is the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it. You don't have to put it on your to-do list and go back to it. You can make your gift and then actually you can put it on your to-do list and check it off if you're, you know, anything like me. It just takes a few minutes to contribute.
You'll have that great feeling of supporting the programs that you love. See what it's like right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make a habit of donating. It's a good habit. It's a habit you can actually be proud of. So get started right now. Help out with your donation of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for six more people to join in the next 20 minutes to hit our goal this hour. You make Wisconsin Public Radio possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as a great added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you could win $1,000 to spend on bikes and cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. No contributions necessary. You can go to WPR.org/drawing for details. But better yet, do two things at once. You're automatically entered when you give a gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, don't worry, you are automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer already, you can become one right now. It is easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. When you do that, you provide ongoing support for the programs you love and get automatically entered in the drawings that we have during member drives.
Jared in Hillsboro says, Central Time keeps me updated on vital Wisconsin issues and does so in an up-to-the-minute fashion I appreciate so much. And Zvapna in Milwaukee says, in these turbulent times, WPR is a beacon of sanity and humanity and reminds me that humans are still basically good at heart, to paraphrase Anne Frank. Thank you so much for your gifts and for those wonderful comments.
Thank you. Now, how about you? Support the radio that you count on right now with your gift. It's easy to make online over at WPR.org or give a quick call. It takes just a few minutes at 888-202-2552, and thank you. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A federal judge ruled Monday that absentee ballots in Wisconsin could be counted an extra 6 days after the November 3rd presidential election concludes, as long as those ballots are postmarked by Election Day. This comes on the heels of a similar ruling for Pennsylvania State Supreme Court, where mail-in ballots are getting a 3-day extension. Both Wisconsin and Pennsylvania are key battleground states in the presidential race. But hold on, there could be appeals that change the story between now and Election Day. Our next guest joins us for a look at the news and how it could shape Election Day results. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the absentee ballot extension in Wisconsin? Good idea? Bad idea? Do you see it affecting the election results, either in outcome or timing of the outcome? What are the political stakes? And are you planning to vote by mail? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Phil Chen is an assistant professor of political science at Beloit College. Phil, welcome back to the show.
Always happy to be here.
All right. The current state of affairs, U.S. District Judge William Conley yesterday ruled that absentee ballots would be counted if they're postmarked by November 3rd, received by clerks on November 9th. How big a switch is that from the usual process?
Well, it's a major switch from the usual process, which involves absentee ballots needing to be received by the basically end of close of polling on election day. But again, we have really never seen this kind of crush of absentee balloting that we're seeing this year. So, but from a normal process, it is a change. It's essentially about a week extension for at least accepting ballots.
And you got to the kind of core of this story. We're seeing all these lawsuits around the country, not just Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, but elsewhere, related to mail-in voting, because there's going to be a lot more interest in mail-in voting. You think that's going to hold true for the general election like it did for primaries?
Oh, I mean, I think it's already holding true. So if you look, the New York Times has a wonderful tracking of absentee ballot requests. So, you know, we know, for instance, that there have been over 1 million absentee ballots requested in Wisconsin already. And, you know, that's just significantly outpacing where what we saw, you know, even in 2016, right? So we're at about 600, I think, percent of absentee ballot requests from 2016. And we're not even at the top of the list, right? Pennsylvania's much higher on this. So we're seeing significantly higher interest in absentee balloting in the general election this year.
Let's talk about what difference this might make in a couple different ways. First of all, do these lawsuits over mail-in voting have the potential to sway the outcome of the election by making it easier or harder for people to vote by mail? Is it going to tilt close states, maybe like Wisconsin, in one direction or another? How likely a scenario do you see that being?
So I actually see that as I think it's possible, but I think it's actually probably relatively unlikely. The reason being that now this might be different in the states that send ballots to everyone automatically, but in states where you have to request an absentee ballot, like Wisconsin, like Pennsylvania, like Florida, the people who are going through the trouble of requesting an absentee ballot are, for the most part, relatively engaged. And so the likelihood that the people who are requesting these ballots are going to be the people who would not have turned in a ballot otherwise seems relatively low. That being said, Wisconsin was decided by such a close margin last in 2016 that it could potentially swing the margin. But I think, you know, I don't know that we'll ever know for sure. It's sort of an unanswerable question. But it absolutely has the potential. But I think that likely the people who are requesting ballots are well informed about the sort of the requirements and the needs of how to get their ballots turned in.
Another question is, does this all affect when we have a result? And I know technically we never have an official count on election day. That's not how it works. It takes a while to count these ballots, but we know enough that generally we can call most elections on election night. Do you see that being different this time around?
That I absolutely do think will be different. And I think that this decision might fundamentally change the when we know what the sort of unofficial count or when Wisconsin is in fact called. Simply because, you know, and here's the thing, we know the numbers of absentee ballots that will be requested, right? And so we'll know the number that have been sent out. And so the people who are doing, you know, the exit pollers and the people who are following this at a precinct level might be able to call Wisconsin if most ballots are returned by election day. If they know Wisconsin sent out 1 million absentee ballots and 900,000 have been returned, and the election, you know, those ballots, you know, we can expect them to break a certain way, Wisconsin might still be called. But I think it drastically increases the probability that we won't have a call on Wisconsin or on a lot of states with extended deadlines until after the election.
Talking to Phil Chen from Beloit College about election-related lawsuits and when ballots can be counted when they're mailed in. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Belleville. John, hi.
Hey, I just got a quick question for you guys here. What happens if, so in Wisconsin, I've already received my ballot. What happens if Donald Trump or Joe Biden were to pass away in between now and then? I know it's kind of a dark question, but if all those ballots already mailed out or already printed, how does that process go?
Phil, do you know how that works?
Off the top of my head, I believe that the party is allowed to name a successor, that name a candidate to replace the candidate who has died, and in turn, those votes would then transfer to that candidate. I am not an expert on that specifically as it pertains to Wisconsin law. So I don't know for sure, but if my recollection is correct, that's what happened, I believe, in Minnesota when Senator Wellstone died, was that former Vice President Mondale was named and received the votes. So I believe that a party can name a successor in that sense.
John, thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Now, another ruling from Judge Conley, again, subject to appeal, saying that clerks could start reporting results immediately on Election Day. In the spring election, the same judge had said that officials had to wait until a week after the election to start reporting results. I don't know. Maybe that's a subtle difference. What do you make of that change?
I think that's an important change in some sense. You know, there's a tendency for, I mean, there's just going to be a lot more attention paid to the presidential election than there was to the spring primary, right? The people who cared about the spring primary cared about the spring primary, but that wasn't a huge, you know, that wasn't a sort of a nationalized election. And so I think that there would be a real fear among people on either side that the, you know, if you just see no results for a week, that's a, you know, there, that is a situation that's ripe both for conspiracy theories and for misinformation, as well as for just people to be unsure and nervous about what happened. And so I think it's totally normal to say, okay, they can start reporting, but you know, they won't report, you know, the final numbers won't come in until at the 9th, right? So I think that's a fairly significant difference. That's, I think, likely, again, not in the judge's mind, but I think likely driven by the significant amount of attention that will be placed on the general election.
Are you worried about attacks on the legitimacy of the election based on mail-in voting? President Trump, very critical, saying it raises the risk of fraud, though no experts seem to say that that is not the case. Do you worry, though, that there's a rising concern about the legitimacy of doing this election a little bit differently than the way we usually do it?
Yeah, I think that's a huge concern. I think we've already seen misinformation being published around by candidates, by, as you said, by President Trump, around fraud that is simply unverifiable. There is no good empirical evidence that absentee voting produces higher levels of fraud than in-person voting. So there's already this sort of discussion around and this misinformation around fraud. And then that's going to be coupled with the fact that we know, right, that we know that Democrats, especially in places like Pennsylvania, are significantly more likely to request absentee ballots than Republicans. And so Democrats are more likely to request these absentee ballots in states that are likely to be pivotal in the election, which means if it's delayed, if the counting of absentee ballots is delayed, if they count in person first, we're going to see the vote totals all shift in one direction towards one party, towards the Democrats, which is another situation that is just really, I think, problematic as far as misinformation. It can breed misinformation when, in fact, it's simply a statistical reality.
So what are you watching for, Phil, in our last minute in the, few weeks to come now before Election Day?
You know, what I'm watching for is, one, what the effects of Supreme Court nomination with Justice Ginsburg's death, what that effect will have on on galvanizing support both among Democrats and Republicans, and on how absentee ballot requests continue to grow. And then again, watching for these court decisions. I'm looking for appeals. Is the decision going to be appealed either to the appellate level or to the Supreme Court? And what does a 5-3 current conservative majority on the Supreme Court mean for the long-term stability of decisions like this? So there's a lot to think about, to look for, aside from just the polls.
And maybe briefly, Phil, the best practice if people are going to cast an absentee ballot for any candidate, any party, maybe don't wait for 7:59 p.m. on election day to run to the post office.
You know, I would probably advise you not to do that. One, I think the post office closes at 6 in a lot of places. Many cities and cities and municipalities are setting up drop boxes either at City Hall. Those are all fine. And actually, in Wisconsin, you can take your absentee ballot if you've forgotten to mail it. You can take your absentee ballot to your official polling place and turn it in there as well on election day.
Phil, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Phil Chen is an assistant professor of political science at Beloit College. He talked to us about the 6-day extension to count Wisconsin's absentee ballots. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Judith Sears-Poisson joins me now at WPR. Listener contributions are the largest source of funding. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including Central Time, on the air. Make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Judith, how are we doing?
We are doing very well. We have about 5 minutes left in this hour, and we are looking for one more person to join in to make our goal. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day.
That's great. Your gift could be the one that puts us over the top to hit our goal this hour and then hopefully exceed it. We fell a little short, I think, 1 hour yesterday. You can help us make up any lost ground there. WPR programs are listener powered. That means that your gift right now does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last conversation, we learned about the fact that a judge has said that as long as they're postmarked by election day, that mail-in ballots can be counted in Wisconsin up to November 9th. They can arrive. It was newsy, timely information. It also gave great ways to make sure that your vote is counted, what to do with your ballot, the different options there. Really great, informative conversation that also brings in news of the day that we can share and expand on. And those are really the kind of informative conversations you can count on from Central Time.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener supported. That means that your donation makes these topics possible each and every day. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This drive, you can provide hunger relief in your area. Ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts. There are options available at $10 or $20 a month.
Join in today. Alliant Energy is partnering with us. They'll match every meal given through the Food Bank Thank You Gifts up to 15,000 meals. Increase your impact with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater.
I'm Kathy Ross, and I live in Whitewater. I'm originally from North Carolina, and there, public radio was very much part of my life. And so about 6 years ago, I came to southeastern Wisconsin to be closer to my family. And one of the things that my daughter told me before I got here was, Mom, you're going to love WPR. And she was right.
All the credit is mine for introducing my mother to WPR. Probably one of the better things I've done for you, huh, Mom? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Make your contribution today because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click donate.
You can do that online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears-Poisson. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for all your favorite Wisconsin Public Radio programs. That's why your support during this fall member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount to give.
Maybe you've been listening to WPR without giving because you actually didn't know that we're listener supported. Well, we are, and that's really powerful. The largest source of funding for WPR programs comes from listeners.
Listeners just like you make all the difference. Maybe you wanted to listen a while to see if you liked what you heard. You're still listening now, so now's the perfect time to support the programming that you rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make a gift that works for you, and for you that might be a gift of $1 or $200 a month.
Make a gift now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Looking for that last gift to put us over our goal this hour? That could be you. If you get going right now, do it at WPR.org or call in at 888-202-2552.
And you can choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. Alliant Energy is partnering with us, and they'll match every dollar raised through the food bank thank you gift up to $5,000. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It is easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can get it started. It's really quick and easy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Catherine in Appleton says, during this unusual and disturbing time, I appreciate more than ever the clarity that WPR brings to the issues. And Leah from Kenosha says, I am a relatively new listener and want to support WPR's excellent journalism. Thank you for all of your hard work. Well, Catherine and Leah, thank you so much for your support and for taking the time to tell us what you value about your listening to WPR.
Now, how about you? Join in with Catherine and Leah and the thousands of other people who have made this super decision to support the radio that they count on and give it some money to keep it happening. Make your gift. You decide the amount. It takes just a few minutes. You can do it online, WPR.org, or call in at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.